why we hurt each other. Summary: human violence isn't just madness. It has evolutionary roots. By recognizing this, we can build a future where empathy, not destruction, drives our actions. Full article: cruelty often seems senseless. When 5 lives were taken in New York City in a random act of violence, the natural response was horror and confusion. How can the same species capable of love, empathy, and creativity also produce genocide, torture, and mass shootings? It's tempting to think of such violence as a glitch in the system, something broken in the minds of individuals. But part of the truth, however unsettling, is that these dark impulses are not new. They're not always random. And they're not always disconnected from our evolutionary past. Still, evolution alone doesn't explain it all. In the case of the New York City shooting, reports have pointed to chronic traumatic encephalopathy, CTE, as a likely factor. Neurological trauma, social isolation, mental illness, and easy access to weapons are all factors. Evolutionary psychology offers one lens, not the whole picture. But it's a lens that helps us confront a part of ourselves we often prefer to ignore. Violence, for much of human history, had a purpose. It was an ugly but effective tool. Our ancestors lived in harsh environments where defending territory, protecting family, or asserting dominance often meant survival. According to Buss and Shackelford, 1997, aggression was a practical response to threats. Those who could stand their ground or retaliate effectively were more likely to pass on their genes. Even horrifying customs like honor killings or blood feuds, as Ibel Ibisfeld, 1977, showed, served functions in their original contexts. These violent acts weren't senseless. They were about maintaining order, enforcing group norms, and deterring future attacks in tight-knit communities. What's disturbing is that this logic still shapes behavior today. These instincts can emerge when people feel cornered or disrespected. McCullough, 2008, argues that revenge serves an evolutionary function, punishing wrongdoers when official justice is absent. Many of the people who commit violence genuinely believe they're doing something justified. As Baumeister, 2015, observed, they often see themselves not as villains but as righteous actors. That's what makes such behavior even more dangerous. Evil usually comes cloaked in moral certainty. Psychologist Stephen Diamond, 1996, referred to this tension within us as the daemonic. The raw energy that fuels both creation and destruction. This inner force can push us toward genius or madness. Repressing it doesn't eliminate it. If left unacknowledged, it builds and eventually erupts. Our old instincts haven't changed much. What's changed is the scale of the tools we now control. The internet enables individuals to radicalize strangers worldwide. High-powered weapons let a single person commit large-scale violence in seconds. And our tribal wiring, once used to protect kinship groups, now fuels global conflict, nationalism, and systemic harm. Randall Collins, 1974, warned that cruelty can go beyond individuals. Institutions can organize and normalize it. Emotions like guilt and shame evolve to keep us bonded to others. But as Gilbert, 1997-2001 notes, these emotions now often turn toxic. In a hyper-connected, comparison-driven society, they don't always keep us in check. They can leave people feeling invisible, worthless, and lost. And that despair doesn't always stay inside. Sometimes it explodes outward. From instinct to choice. Still, violence isn't destiny. Most people never act on their darker impulses. But understanding them is critical. We're not just violent, we're also cooperative, empathetic, and capable of restraint. Those traits are just as deeply rooted. If we want to stop the next wave of violence, whether triggered by trauma, ideology, or isolation, we need to nurture those better instincts intentionally. This means building systems that emphasize mental health, emotional education, ethical decision-making, and human connection. It means recognizing that the same species capable of cruelty is also capable of care. The question isn't whether we can erase our darker nature. It's whether we can learn to effectively stop it from taking control, especially in stressful times. Buss D. M. and Shackelford T. K. 1997. Human aggression from an evolutionary psychological perspective. Clinical Psychology Review 17-6, 605-619. Collins R. 1974. Three Faces of Cruelty, Towards a Comparative Sociology of Violence. Theory and Society 1-3, 415-440. Diamond S. O. 1996. Anger, Madness, and the Daemonic, The Psychological Genesis of Violence, Evil, and Creativity. Albany, NY, SUNY Press. Ibelibesfeld I, 1977. Evolution of Destructive Aggression. Aggressive Behavior 3-2, 127-144. Gilbert P, 1997. The Evolution of Social Attractiveness and Its Role in Shame, Humiliation, Guilt, and Therapy. British Journal of Medical Psychology, 70, 113-147. Gilbert P, 2001. Evolutionary Approaches to Psychopathology, The Role of Natural Defenses. Australian and New Zealand Journal of Psychiatry, 35, 17-27. McCullough M, 2008. Beyond Revenge, The Evolution of the Forgiveness Instinct. San Francisco, Jossie Bass. Sam Goldstein, Ph.D., is an adjunct faculty member at the University of Utah School of Medicine and co-author of Tenacity in Children. Life never gets easier. Fortunately, psychology is keeping up, uncovering new ways to maintain mental and physical health and positivity and confidence through manageable daily habits like these. How many are you ready to try? Self-tests are all about you. Are you outgoing or introverted? Are you a narcissist? Does perfectionism hold you back? Find out the answers to these questions and more with Psychology Today.